Glad to invite you to turn to Psalm 17. You can follow along as I read it in the New King James, or you can follow along in your Psalter, either one. So this is Psalm 17. This is God's Word. A prayer of David. Hear a just cause, O Lord. Attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer, which is not from deceitful lips. Let my vindication come from your presence. Let your eyes look upon the things that are upright. You have tested my heart. You have visited me in the night. You have tried me and have found nothing. I have purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men, by the word of your lips I have kept away from the paths of the destroyer. Uphold my steps in your paths, that my footsteps may not slip. I have called upon you, for you will hear me, O God. Incline your ear to me and hear my speech. Show your marvelous loving kindness by your right hand, O you who saves those who trust in you from those who rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings from the wicked who oppress me, from my deadly enemies who surround me. They have closed up their fat hearts. With their mouths they speak proudly. They have now surrounded us in our steps. They have set their eyes crouching down to the earth as a lion is eager to tear his prey and like a young lion lurking in secret places. Arise, O Lord, confront him, cast him down. Deliver my life from the wicked with your sword. With your hand from men, O Lord, from men of the world who have their portion of this life, and whose belly you fill with your hidden treasure. They are satisfied with children and leave the rest of their possessions for their babes. As for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. Glad to point out a couple of very interesting aspects of this as we have a meditation on Psalm 17. The first is that there is a title to this psalm. You may have noticed that there have been a variety of titles in the psalms up to this point. We've seen some psalms of David, some songs, and there are a variety of different types of songs that we have sung as well. This is titled A Prayer of David. You might remember that some of the previous psalms have had something of the character of a prayer, but this is the first one that has that title. And it highlights the fact that the book of Psalms has a variety of different reasons for the Psalms to be written. There's sometimes that there's just really high praise that is being expressed to the Lord. At other times, there is a lament that is lifted up to God. In this case, there is a prayer, and we join together corporately when we sing this to offer up this prayer to the Lord. The subject matter lends very well to a prayer. In the psalm, David brings his case before the Lord, and he asks him to hear and to answer his cause. His prayer rises out of some sort of persecution that he was facing, and it describes his enemies as surrounding him to oppress. He even describes them as lions that are crouching down, ready to pounce upon him. It's very descriptive poetry that David uses to describe the enemies. You may have noticed then, because of this psalm and some of the ones that we've meditated on earlier, that there is a realism about the Christian life that the psalms express. The Christian life is not and never has been a bed of roses. The Psalms speak out of a reality of the Christian life that experiences a variety of trials. while we enjoy the blessings of knowing Jesus Christ and following after Him, you need to also remember that Jesus Himself warned that if you are a follower of Jesus, that you will also suffer some of the persecution of the enemy. If, says Jesus, they persecute the Son of God, then so surely they will persecute those who follow after Him. And this psalm expresses that reality. So what does David do when he faces this persecution? Well, he prays and he pleads his case before the Lord. And he particularly appeals to the fact that his enemies were dealing with him unjustly. And the first half of this psalm is something of a lawyer's case laying out, as David would argue, that he is being accused falsely. And he comes before the Lord and he makes note of the reasons why supposedly the enemies were accusing him and smearing his name and persecuting him. And David can so say, those accusations have no ground. And it's right for us in the midst of facing those trials and those accusations to come before the Lord and to ask if any sin holds sway. And if there isn't, to plead our case before the Lord. He asks God to act on his behalf as well. Not only does he say that he is being unjustly accused, but he asks God to save him from his enemies, to act against the wicked and to bring them down. He says, "Arise, O Lord, confront him, cast him down. Deliver me from those lions that surround me." He also asks God to hear and to answer, and in very poetic ways asks for personal deliverance. And the children might recognize one of the phrases that comes here. "Keep me, Lord, as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings." It's one of the songs that the children sing in their opening exercises. And it's one that is rich in its poetry. What is an apple of the eye? Well, it's descriptive of someone who is favorable to someone else. So Ashley, as she is preparing for her wedding, is the apple of Philip's eye. And there's a sense of being kept as that in that position of favor. And being hidden under the shadow of wings is, again, very descriptive. Now, I know the Yosts haven't had any baby chicks yet, but they have chickens. And one of the ways that the mothers protect their babies is to shelter them under their wings. That's what is being described here. That's what David asks of God. "Deliver me, shelter me." He even names God, "O you who save those who trust in you." I like the way the New American Standard puts it. He calls God, "O Savior of those who take refuge in your hand." And the word that's used there for saving is the word that is the root of the name, the Old Testament name of Joshua and the New Testament name of Jesus. That's what David names here. He's calling on Jesus to deliver and to save. Let me finally call your attention to verse 15. There's a sense of purpose and of life purpose that David expresses in this verse. He talks about what he wants most, what he would be satisfied with. This is in the midst of this persecution. And even reflecting in the verse before on what happens with the ungodly. He says the ungodly seem to prosper. It says that they have their own portion in this life. In other words, they don't go without. "Whose bellies you fill with hidden treasure." In other words, not only do they have what they need, they have more than enough. "They are satisfied with children." In other words, one of the blessings of this life is to have children. and they leave the rest of their possession for their babes. And there's a turning here that happens, because David talks about the death of the wicked. They're prosperous. They have enough to leave an inheritance, which is good in one sense, but that's all that they have. They have a portion in this life. They have children. They die, and that's it. And all of that that they've accumulated just kind of decays away. They leave it behind. But for David, he says that there is hope that goes beyond death itself. As for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. And that's his life purpose. He will be satisfied with Christ. He will be satisfied with God. To be like him in this life and to see him even after death. And that's a life purpose that will guide you throughout all the days of your life. That will see you through persecution. To have your eyes fixed on the Savior who takes the Savior of those who take refuge at your right hand. That's Jesus. Well, let's sing Psalm 17. We're going to sing it throughout the rest of the service, and we'll take the first portion, Psalm 17, Selection A. Let's stand and sing Psalm 17A.